You turn with me this morning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We've been for some time in this Thessalonian study of the last days, and not because I'm preaching it, but because it's God's word, I don't think there's a more appropriate subject matter right now when you view what's happening in our world. I think these scriptures written 2,000 years ago are speaking right to us. Amen. They're addressing our world where we live. Amen. Could you stand for the reading of God's word? Some folks say we Pentecostals don't get enough exercise. They just don't come to church with us. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 9. If you'll remember, last week we did not finish, and we were talking about the coming of the Antichrist. So this verse 9, it looks like we're right in the middle of the story, because we are. It says, even him, the Antichrist, the man of perdition, whose man of sin, lawlessness, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. I want you to get the word lying there. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. You know, I feel prompted. I'm going to stop here and say this. The best thing to happen to all of us, but I'm thinking of these young people just coming through youth camp, going to face anew the temptations. The best thing you can have going in your Christian experience is to love the truth. Love the truth. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, very scary words, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. We've had the word lying. Now we have believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks all week to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. If I had just a focal point for all these verses, it would be verse 11. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. I want to tell you right now, listen to me, our nation, a majority of our nation, is believing a lie. We're living in times when the lie is being believed and the truth is being rejected. Amen. I'm going to preach to us today, and I trust the Holy Spirit will shut up our hearts to the truth, that only a love for the truth will save us from believing the destructive lies of the last days. Let me put it this way. If we do not love the truth, we will believe the lies of the last days. I want to preach this morning on the lies of the last days. The lies of the last days. Heavenly Father, we need this to be a defining moment in our hearts. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to draw us together in unity as a people, and to hear what thus saith the Lord is, not just for our church and our individual hearts, but for our nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. The lies of the last days. I like folk stories, and this one comes from the Middle East. The story is told about an Arab in his tent one night. It's dark. He's lying on his mat trying to sleep, but he can't sleep because he keeps thinking of this bowl of dates. And the more he thinks of this bowl of dates, the hungrier he gets. And he knows where the bowl of dates is, so finally he gets out of bed and reaches over for that bowl of dates, and he begins to eat them. And as he eats them, he notices that the texture is a little different. Something's not quite right with the texture and not quite right with the taste. So he gets a match and he lights a candle to look at the dates. And when he lit the candle and looked at the dates, he noticed that, and he checked several of them, every date had some worms in it. So you know what he did? He blew out the candle so he couldn't see, blew out the candle, and kept eating the dates. That's our nation. They want what they want, and wanting what they want, they don't want the truth about what they want. Amen? We're living in a nation of people who are believing lies. They don't want the truth of what they're wanting. They want to extinguish the light that tells the truth about their base carnal desires. Amen. We have an example of that this week. The New York State Legislature has voted for same-sex marriage. You know what they did? Those folks wanted what they wanted, so they blew the light out, amen, to keep wanting what they wanted. I'm telling you, it's a nation that believes lies. I want you to think with me of how much that we hear today is lies. We have lies from the media. We have lies from Washington. We have lies presented as reality in advertisement, lies in television programs, lies in movies. We have lies spoken by university professors, and shame on the church. We have lies spoken from the pulpits of our nation. The scary thing isn't that lies are being spoken, it's that people are believing these lies. But in order to believe the lies, they have to squelch the lie. I don't think it's a time to put out the lie. I think it's time to extinguish or to incite or to kindle the light that we might see the truth. Can you say amen? Lies corrupt. Lies jade people. Lies shackle. Lies destroy. Lies kill. But the truth will set a nation free. The truth will set a family free. The truth will set a person free. We don't need lies. We need the truth of God. Can you say amen? The truth will take off shackles. The truth will bring marriages back together. The truth will put life into a heart. The truth will bring joy in a joyous climate. The truth will give a person a second chance. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad we don't have to listen to a lie. We can love of the truth. Hallelujah. But we are living in a time when people would rather listen to a lie and be damned than to love the truth and be saved. On the apostle's word, that is a characteristic of the last days. People would rather listen to a lie and be damned than to listen to the truth and be saved. Here in a few moments, and young people, if you got paper and pen, write them down. Not right off, but in a few moments, I'm going to talk about the lies of the last day. I'm going to give you some of the lies that I believe are the most destructive to our society and our nation and our young people and our churches. But before we get to those lies, I've got to share the context here. It's very important. First of all, I want us to look at why people will believe the lies of the last days. Why will they believe the lies of the last day? Paul tells us in verse 9, he said there's going to be one. He's going to come after the working of Satan. He's going to have power. There's going to be signs and lying words, wonders, words too. Amen. The Antichrist, Paul says, is going to rise to power with an anointing of Satan working in him and through him, and there are going to be sensational miracles. The first reason people will believe the lies is because people are moved by the sensational. They don't think, they don't use their reason, they don't use the measure of God's word. They make their decisions of belief by being moved by the sensational. The Antichrist comes with the power of Satan and works these supposed apparent miracles, and people allow themselves to be moved by the sensation of a miracle, and therefore they'll believe the lies that he tells. They like the sensational. They like the miracle. Amen. The Antichrist rises in part, at least, because he puts on a display of what seems to be supernatural power. Paul already told us that the spirit of iniquity does already work. That means the Antichrist is not here yet, but these false miracles, these false signs, these lying wonders are already here. And listen, they're not all in the Philippines with some witch doctors. Some of these false miracles are being worked, apparently worked, at the hands of false preachers and teachers, because that is one of the signs of the last days. And people, they won't check their book, they won't read the Bible, they won't listen to the truth, because they want what they want, and they want the sensational that will wow them and move their emotions, and because of that, they are a candidate to believe a lie. They're moved by the sensational. The Bible here talks about the working of Satan. I'll say the Greek word in ergo, which is exactly the word we get our word energy from. The working of Satan is the energy of Satan. I'm not trying to spook you, but I want you to know there's a lot of energy, the energy of Satan at work in our world. I believe there's the energy of Satan in much of what Hollywood puts out. There's the energy of Satan in songs. There's the energy of Satan at work in government. It's everywhere in our society. Amen. This energy of Satan will imbue the Antichrist. He'll be filled with the energy of Satan, the working of Satan. I want you to know Satan has real power. I don't know if these miracles, I believe they're somehow illusion in apparent supernatural miracles, but I want you to know Satan has power, and he anoints his servants with his power, just like God anoints his servants with his power. Hallelujah. How many's praying for your pastor this morning that God would anoint him with God's power? Because I want to tell you, all across this land are the servants of Satan, and they are filled with, anointed with, imbued with the working, the energy, the power, the anointing of Satan, and they're deceiving a generation, and they're working to destroy everything God would do. Amen. Don't get too caught up with that, because there's also the power of God, and we need to make clear, greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you how people are moved by the sensation to believe a lie. Listen, this is a subject in itself, and I'm going to handle it in one sentence. The Bible makes exceedingly clear, the Bible insists that you do not judge a man by his miracles. The Bible says he can seem to work every miracle possible, but if what he says does not measure up with this, thus saith the Lord, he is a false prophet not to be followed. Amen. You don't judge a man by his miracles. You judge him by his word. Truth, not lie. People receive the lie. You'll try to point out the dangers of believing the teaching of a certain man, and they'll say, do you see how big a crowd he has? I had a fellow tell me that once. Got saved, was doing pretty good, but I had to talk to him about something. He got so mad he is shaking. He shook his finger in my face, and he said, they warned me about you on TV. He said, I'll tell you what you are. You're a legalist. You've heard me preach. I'm no legalist. He shook his finger and said, you're a legalist. They warned me about you. And then he said this, why should I listen to you? I go in there, there's 150, 200 people in Union Pentecostal Church, and that man on television, he's got thousands. thousands in the crowd. Why should I listen to you and not him? I'm telling you, that's the way our world judges things, by the sensation. Oh, they worked a miracle. They got a big crowd. They took in lots of money. None of those things are the criterion. The criterion is, does what they say measure with the word of God? I'm trying to help us this morning. It's not time to believe a lie. It's time to hold to the truth like never before. Coming back from camp, amen, I was listening to some late night radio. I'm going to tell you what amazes me. People today claim that science keeps them from believing in the miracles of the Bible, but they believe in every other paranormal thing. I mean, there were guys with degrees on this radio show talking about the MIBs. Might have been one right behind that pillar right there. How many knows what the MIBs are? They're men in black that come from a parallel universe, and every once in a while they find a portal to our world, and you might turn around and they've been out at our side and they step back from the portal so you can't see them. Can't believe that Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, but they believe in the MIB. You'd be surprised how many people believe in UFOs. They believe you can channel the power of the universe through crystals. Amen. All this other stuff, I'll get in trouble if I go too far. They believe in ESP, but they say they can't believe in the miracles of the Bible. Even today, people say they don't believe in the power of prayer, but I heard this week there's lots of people that believe that hypnosis can help you lose weight, and yet they don't believe in the power of prayer. They're hypocrites. They can say they're liberated. They can say they're intelligent, but they're a bunch of hypocrites saying that science keeps them from believing in the miracles of the Bible, yet they believe in every other paranormal, supernatural thing. I'm telling you, that is an attempt to wow people, fill them with sensation that they might believe a lie. Secondly, why do they believe a lie? By the way, the word lying, wonders, means pseudo, and it means false. Either that the wonder, the miracle itself is false, or that it leads to falsehood, or both. People receive a lie, believe a lie, because they're moved by the sensational. But number two, they love unrighteous things more than truth. Amen. They love unrighteous things more than truth. I'll tell you why most people don't believe the gospel. It's not because they intellectually can't believe. They don't believe the gospel because the gospel contradicts the way they want to live and their fleshliness and carnality and the sin of their life. And they don't believe because they don't want to give up their sin. Don't give me this, you can't believe. Verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Deceivableness of unrighteousness. In other words, Satan literally deceives them with and to the unrighteous thing. Even how does that deceive them? Because they want that unrighteous thing. They want that date so bad that they won't believe there's worms in it. And he deceives them into thinking it's okay to eat dates with worms in it, to blow out the light, and to have what they have, that the unrighteous thing is okay. Young people, how many times this week in that last sermon did Brother Atkins talk about relentlessly seeking the truth? Does it ring a bell? Relentlessly seeking the truth. They perish because they receive not the love of the truth. And because they did not love the truth, amen, they were deceived into thinking they could have their unrighteous thing in their life and be saved. You can't be saved with unrighteousness in your life. You can be saved with the truth in your life. Amen. They deceive, they desire the unrighteous pleasures instead of truth. I want you to know all Satan's workings are based on deception, illusion, trickery, but it will fool people every time that have not been saved because they don't love the truth. Listen, I'm going to tell you, if you don't love the truth, you will be deceived. If you don't love the truth, you can't have the truth. And if you don't have the truth, you can't be saved. I'll tell you, every once in a while, I lift up my hands and thank God that from a child I have known the truth. If you know the truth this morning, your heart ought to be filled with thankfulness that you know the truth. If we didn't know the truth, Brother Wilson, we'd be deceived like the rest of them. But listen, I got to hurry. I'm bogging down. I got to hurry. People believe the truth because he deceives them with the unrighteous thing. He tells them the unrighteous thing is okay. He gives them justification for it. He gives them argument against anyone that would tell them they're wrong. And believing that they can have the unrighteous thing, they are lost. They perish. Being deceived always leads to unrighteous living, and unrighteous living always leads to being deceived. You say, how do you know some folks are deceived? I know it because according to this book, they are living in unrighteousness. I'm tired of hearing it. It's a drumbeat in our ranks, especially from the younger folks, not these, but in the church at large, and other folks. You hear constantly, Brother Ryan, over, there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with this. I'm telling you, not according to man, but according to the book. If the book says it's wrong, it's wrong. And if you think there's nothing wrong, you have been deceived, and you'll perish for not loving the truth. Satan is able to deceive them because he offers them the unrighteous thing. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Why are they deceived? Why do they believe a lie? Because having rejected the truth, there's nothing left but delusion to have and believe. Look at verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. This is scary. God had been moving on them by His Holy Spirit to believe the truth. Listen to me. But when they rejected the Holy Spirit that was trying to lead them to the truth, God sent a spirit, not a Holy Spirit, but a spirit of delusion so they would believe a lie. It's a dangerous thing to resist the Spirit of God when He speaks truth to our heart. Because there's only one other thing, the spirit of delusion to believe a lie. I know I've already said it in different forms, but if you don't get anything else out of this sermon, get this. If you do not love the truth, you will believe a lie. Amen. If you and I do not love the truth, we will believe a lie. It's not that God forces people to believe a lie and make them lost. It's that they've rejected the truth and there's no option but to believe the lie. Amen. God lets them have what they want. They don't want the truth. They want to be deceived. And God lets them have it and sends them the spirit of delusion that they might or that they should believe a lie. He doesn't do it for the purpose that they believe a lie, but that's the result of it. They're not loving the truth. Hallelujah. I'm about to get to those lies, but I want us to look at verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That tells you right there why people don't believe the truth and they believe a lie. They have pleasure in unrighteousness. I'm glad for what I saw last week in young people. It wasn't young people having pleasure in unrighteousness. It was young people having pleasure in righteousness, in the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. If you begin to find your pleasure in the unrighteous things of this world, you will not believe the truth and you'll believe a lie. But let me tell you, if you love righteousness, hallelujah, if you love holiness, if you love the Word of God, the world around you may be deceived, but you'll know the truth and be saved. Hallelujah. If worldly pleasure is what you live for, you'll live a lie. I've said this before, Brother Clendenin, and you say, folks get up and say, God's going to judge America for the sin of homosexuality. And speaking from Romans 1, he said they're wrong. God's not going to judge America for the sin of homosexuality. He said, and this is his way of doing it, he said, my God, homosexuality is the judgment. You see, that belief itself destroys and ruins and wrecks. And if we don't believe the truth, God doesn't have to zap us with lightning. Believing the lie will destroy us. Believing the lie will corrupt and damn us. Amen. But I want to close before we get to these lies. Close this point here of why men believe the lies. Here's the thing. Amen. If falsehood binds, if falsehood destroys, then the truth will set free. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, there is hope. Now let's get to these. What are the lies of the last days that people will believe? What are the lies of the last days that people will believe? First of all, I'm going to tell you what lies I'm not going to talk about. I'm not going to talk about the pseudo-scientific lies. I believe evolution is a lie. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about the political lies. I heard again this week, the Obamacare, the health care that's been voted in, I heard them saying, as if they were a preacher, it's going to save us money. Who can believe that? I'm not going to talk about the political. Don't be ashamed. We're not going to make you stand up for. But how many actually believes that the government having and running a health care program is going to save you on your taxes? We're not going to talk about that. I'm resisting that. Amen. We're not going to talk about doctrinal lies. I believe one of the doctrinal lies that's damning folks to hell is once saved, always saved. You accept Christ, you need to do nothing else, you're forever saved. But I'm going to talk about what I call pop lies. Lies of the pop culture. Sloganized philosophy. It's in the music, it's in the movie, it's in the liberal university professor's lecture, it's in the social network chatter. I'm going to go through these quickly. Each of them deserve time. I'm going to go quickly. I know it's Sunday morning, but we need to know about the lies of the last days. Here they are. Number one, pop lies. Amen. Each has his or her own truth. Amen. It's all right for Mark to believe whatever he wants to believe and me to believe whatever I want to believe. And who is Brother Lee to say one of us is right or wrong? Because we all have our own truth. There's no absolute truth. There's no objective truth. There's no standard of truth. There's no measure of truth. You just find what you want to believe, and that's your truth. I find what I want to believe, and that's my truth. You have your truth. I have my truth. Let's all be happy, and nobody tell anybody else what they should believe. You know, the logical conclusion of that is it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe it sincerely, and it works for you. Believe whatever you want. If it works for you, that's your truth. It just doesn't matter what you believe. Belief is a personal matter. You choose what you believe and don't listen to anybody else tell you it's wrong. Let me put it the way they would in the university. Truth is relative. Truth is not absolute. Truth is relative. Now listen, I'm going to spend a little time with this and we're going to move on. But to do so, I want to give you a definition of truth. Truth is what corresponds with reality. Truth is what corresponds with reality. Amen. Good to see you here, Jerry. Hallelujah. Nathan, help me for a moment. Stand up. Nathan's going to tell you something. He's going to tell you.
I'm 6 foot tall.
He may get to be 6 foot tall one day. Tell him again. Maybe if you said it a little more emphatically, they'd believe you.
I'm 6 foot tall.
Do you believe that?
Yes, sir. Yes. Don't tell me I'm not 6 foot tall.
I believe I am.
I believe I'm 6 foot tall.
Okay, stand right there. He's got his truth. Who am I to say him? He's wrong. That's what the world believes right there. It's a lie of the last day. Everybody has their own truth. But I'm telling you, truth is what corresponds with reality. I forgot to bring it from my desk. But I don't believe in relative truth. I believe in absolute truth. And you know how we can settle this right now? I could go get my tape measure out of my desk, and I could pull that measure up, have him stand up, and mark him against the tape measure, and find out whether he's telling the truth or not. Now, he may be 6 foot or 6 foot five one day. I'm not trying to measure, but son, you're not 6 foot right now. You can believe it, you can say it, but I've got a measure stick that says you're not. Hey, thank you. The world can say it's nothing matters, it's all relative, but I'm telling you, there is a measuring stick. Hallelujah. They can say what they want to say, but this doesn't correspond with reality. Oh, I wish I had time to spend there. Let me tell you how they're tricky, how they do this. I'm a university professor. Look at me. I'm a university professor. Here's how they do it. They're real tricky. You're the class. You're looking up at me. Now, listen. Let me show you how truth's not absolute. I'm going to make a statement, and you tell me if it's true. The piano is to the right of the pulpit. I'm telling you, the piano is to the right of the pulpit. What's some student going to say? Brother Brian, you know what's... tell me what it is to you. Very wise student, very wise. I'm trying to tell you the pianist to the right, but I don't have a right to tell you that, because you're looking at the same piano and you're saying it's not on the right, it's on the left. You see, we each have our own truth, and truth is relative. And to me, the piano's on the right, but to Brian, Brother Brian, the piano's on the left. Isn't that smart? Truth is relative. Now I'm changing to be the preacher. You say the pen is on the left, right? The left, correct? But I didn't make the statement when I was down there. I made the statement when I was right here. I don't care. Come help me. I don't care if your name's Brother Brian. Stand right here. Where's the piano at? I don't care if your name's Brother Mark. Would you help me? Where's the piano at? I don't care if you're one of the 6 billion people. If you stand them in this place, the piano's going to be on the right. They can deceive the college student, but the truth of the matter is there is an absolute. If you stand behind this pulpit and you look towards that back wall, every time that piano is going to be on the right. They're fooling. It's a lie. They're teaching daily to our kids in college that truth is relative. But I want to lift my voice. Truth is absolute. Thank you, guys. By the way, I'll point out, if you want to think about this, the moment they say all truth is relative, they've just defeated themselves, because they've just given you an absolute. Amen. All right, forget the philosophy. How many knows that's a lie of the last day? Each has his own truth. I'm telling you, the truth we have is the same for all of us. It's found in this book. Lie number two. Each should follow his or her own heart. Listen to the talk show host. Listen to the self-help psychologist. Listen to friends give advice to friends. You're in a quandary. You can't make up your mind what to do. And you ask them for advice. You know what they're going to tell you 99% of the time? Listen to your own heart. Be true to your own desires. Follow your own heart. Am I telling you the truth? Is that the pop philosophy of today? I'm telling you, that's dangerous. I've got a wife and children, and I go to Brother Steve and I say, Brother Steve, I have fallen in love with someone else. I mean, I've just got such strong feelings for them. You say, don't you got a wife and children? Yeah, I got a wife and children, but I got such strong. What should I do? Answer: just follow your heart.
Follow your heart.
I'm telling you, that's a lie people are believing. And it's a reason our society is in the shape it's in. Follow your own heart. Now listen, they can believe what they want to believe. And I know there's a nobility and a dignity to man because he's created in the image of God. But I want to tell you, the Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. If I follow my heart, I'm going to do the wrong thing. If I'm true to myself, I'm going to make the right choice. I know we have a conscience and we need to follow our conscience. But if I follow every inclination of my heart, every desire of my heart, every feeling of my heart, every emotion and opinion of my heart, I'm going to believe a lie. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to listen to my heart. I'm going to listen to the Word of God and believe my heart only when it's in tune with this. Can you say amen? I wish we had time for all these. We don't. Lie number three. All roads or all religions lead to heaven. I'm telling you, Brother David is sitting here. He wants to go to Indianapolis so bad he can't stand it. Isn't that right? You want to go to Indianapolis? Well, Brother David, all roads lead to Indianapolis. You mean I can take I-75 north and get to Indianapolis? All roads lead to Indianapolis. You mean I can take 73 east and get to... All roads lead to Indianapolis. That's the most foolish thing I've ever heard. I'm telling you, I'd rather believe the truth. I am the way. I am the way. Not a way, not the best way, not a good... I am the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another lie of the last day. All faiths worship the same God. All faiths worship the same God. They may use a different word, but they're all worshiping the same God. Jews and Christians and Muslims and Buddhists, they're all worshiping the same God. I'm telling you, that's a lie. You'll hear it over and over and over. Who am I to judge another religion? I don't judge them. The book does. Who am I to say they don't believe? They say, well, look, they may call him by a different name, but he's still the same God. I don't believe that for a minute. Amen. How many knows that we worship Jesus Christ? But do you know there are millions of Jesuses? I'm not worshiping them. I'm worshiping the one that's in this book. Amen. Amen. They're not worshiping the same God. He's got different characteristics, different attributes, a different nature. Amen. The God I worship, his nature is defined in this book. His attributes are given in this book. Amen. My God doesn't command folks to blow up innocent babies. My God doesn't command folks, amen, to commit suicide. That's not the same God. You can say it till you're blue in your face. I don't serve that kind of God. I serve the Holy, righteous, pure, loving God. Hallelujah. Amen. You can call him by any name, but it's not the same God. It's got to be the God of this book. Oh, we need time for that. We don't have it. Another lie of the last day is life is all about your journey. I tire of hearing this. You know, there is a little truth in it. We do grow. We do develop. We do learn from our experiences. But they're not saying that. Over and over you'll hear, life is all about your journey. It's not about the destination, but it's about a journey. Now, I haven't read the book. The tack may be different in the book. But this week, Bristol Palin's book came out, and the title is Not Afraid of Life, My Journey So Far. That may be a completely harmless title with the subject matter. But the thing is, that is the language of today. It's not about a destination. It's not where you're headed. It's just, are you having, what kind of journey are you having? Amen. Life is all about your journey. It's not whether or not you're traveling a certain road as opposed to another. It's not about whether or not you even know where you're going or whether you're arriving anywhere. Life's just about a journey. It's like that airplane pilot. He got on the intercom. He said, folks, I got good news and bad news. The bad news, I'll give it to you first. He said, I have no idea where we're going right now. But the good news is we're making real good time. That's that philosophy. It doesn't matter where you end up. It's just the journey. Amen. I tire of hearing the journey. It's just about what you're experiencing and what you choose to experience and what you choose in life. But I would say this morning, no, it's not about the journey. It's about where that journey ends. Amen. I told you before, I could put you in a limousine with all the food there, plush, riding on air, amen, and take you on a journey that you knew was going to end at the execution chamber. Or I could put you in a wagon without suspension on an old road with ruts in it and holes in it where you bounced every foot of the way, but tell you I'm taking you to a mansion that's going to be yours. You wouldn't look at me and say it's all about the journey. You'd look at me and say it's about the destination. And I'm telling you, it is about the destination. There is a wide road. It is easy to go on, but it ends in destruction. There is a narrow gate. There is a straight way. But it ends in life eternal. It's not about the journey. It's about the destination. Hallelujah. Here's another lie. There's no real purpose to life. Only what you get out of it. That philosophy keeps resurfacing through the centuries, from the ancient Greeks to today. Amen. There's no purpose in life other than the fun, the pleasure you can milk out of it. It's mentioned in the Bible. That philosophy is under this phrase: eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Live for the moment. Hang out. Have fun. Go to the parties. Have all the experiences that you can have. There's no eternity. There's no absolutes. There's no creator. There's no judge. There's no purpose of life. You just hang out and have fun. Eat, drink, and be merry. I know it's subtle, not being critical if you say this, but I do believe it's a manifestation of this philosophy. Everywhere you go now, amen, the clerk says, or someone says to you when you're getting ready to leave, enjoy. How many's noticed that? Enjoy. I'm glad there are enjoyable things. I'm no sad sack. I'm talking about a manifestation of that philosophy. I'm going to Kings Island tomorrow. Enjoy. You buy a new car. Enjoy. The receptionist at the dentist calls you. Enjoy. That's just a manifestation of the philosophy that the only purpose in life is to have a good time. I think you heard it this week. Young people don't need to preach it too long. But I'm telling you, you've got a greater purpose in life than just enjoy yourself. You've got a purpose to serve the living God, to fulfill His will and plan for your life. And I'll tell you one thing. If you'll do His will, you'll find out that's the most enjoyable living that there is. Aren't you glad we do have a Creator? Aren't you glad that what we do does matter? Hallelujah! Don't believe the lie. We're just here to have fun. Amen. Another lie. It doesn't matter how you live, as long as you're being yourself. We'll have to quit on lies right here. Amen. But these are lies that are destroying our nation. Amen. It doesn't matter how you live, as long as you are being yourself. You would think that this would just be in the world, but it's crept into the church. It's a little different in the church. In the church, it says it doesn't matter how you live, as long as you have you can claim you've been saved. Then you can go ahead and live any way you want to. I mean, that's a lie. That's a lie. It doesn't matter how long you live, as long as you're being yourself. You say, now listen, people aren't going to believe that. Listen to me carefully. This is today. Let me listen to this. This week, before they voted on homosexual marriage in New York, I heard one of the supporters saying this: we need this law because young people need the freedom to be themselves. Don't tell me people's not believing these lies. That was the justification for voting in homosexual marriage in New York. Young people need the freedom to be themselves. That's a philosophy. Be yourself. I've got something better. Be what God has planned for you to be. Be what God has designed you to be. Be what God would like for you to be, and it can help you be. I don't want to be myself. If I'm myself, I'm kind of a men are pigs kind of thing, you know? I mean, if I'm myself, I get rude, I get selfish. I know you can't imagine that because you see my halo every week. But if I'm just myself, I'll say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. God hadn't called me to be myself in my basic nature. He's called me to be a redeemed Clifford Hurst. He's called me to be a Clifford Hurst in the image of Christ. I don't want to be myself. I want to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish we had more time. Those are lies of the last days. Don't believe them. Amen. Last of all, from context and quickly, how do we resist these lies of the last days? Number one, believe the truth. Look at verse 13. We're bound to give thanks to God, beloved of the Lord, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. If you will believe the truth, you'll not be deceived by a lie. I heard years ago when they teach bank tellers about counterfeit bills, they don't give them counterfeit bills and have them handle them, but they give them the genuine bills and have them handle them. And in handling the genuine bills, then when a counterfeit passes through their fingers, they immediately recognize it in their counting. I'm telling you, the way to recognize the lie and not be deceived is to believe the truth. And it says here, if we'll believe the truth, he'll do the sanctifying and he'll do the saving. I'm glad I don't have to sanctify or save myself. I believe the truth and he'll do the sanctifying. He'll do the saving. Believe the truth. A steady intake of the diet of truth prevents one from the corrupting germs of deception. Number two, how are we to resist the lies of the last days? Answer the call. Answer the call. Verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel. He called you. I'm telling you, the gospel does call. And the gospel is the call of truth. The gospel tells you the truth about man's problem, the truth about man's need to be saved, the truth that man can't save himself. The gospel tells you that Jesus Christ came to take our place to do the saving. The gospel tells us God is a holy God and we need to be saved. But that gospel will come calling. I'm telling you how to escape the lies of the last days. Amen. Answer the call of the gospel. And I'm telling you, it doesn't just call you when you first get saved. If you'll sit in church, if you'll read your Bible, you'll hear that truth of that gospel call you over. And if every time the truth of the gospel calls you, if you'll answer that call, you will not believe a lie. Oh, hallelujah. I don't feel I'm doing justice. We're about done. I'm going so quickly. But another way we resist the lies of the last days is to be consistent and unchanging. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Amen. I hope you have faith. And Brother Brian and myself, amen, for years, young people and other folks, for years, we've taught you the truth. Why would you go out, meet some new person at work that doesn't go to church? Why would you listen to their word rather than the word those that have loved you and told you the truth for years? Continue thou. We're living a time when everybody is changing what they believe. But look at verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions. I'm not talking about rituals of the church, but the things the apostles taught, which are now the epistles. Hold to the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by writing. Trends will come. Times will change. People will change. But determine you're going to hold to the same truth that set you free. Amen. Why would you want to go to something else when it was this truth that got rid of your sins? It was this truth that delivered your soul. It was this truth that gave you joy unspeakable and full of glory. It was this truth that gave you hope. Why would you want to believe anything else? Oh, hallelujah. Last of all, how do we resist the lies of the last days? Let God help us. Look at verse 16. Oh, he's involved. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, hath loved us and hath given us. Look, he's given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts. Establish you in every good work and will. God does the work. He establishes us. He gives us a good word and the work. If I accept the truth, if I desire to believe, God will do the work in my life. Isn't that a wonderful gospel? I don't have to make myself righteous. I just believe in the righteous one, and he makes me righteous. Amen. I don't have to save myself. I believe in the Savior, and then he'll save me. Oh, I don't want to lie. Would you come, music? I want the truth. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Lies of the last day. But I want to love the truth. And in loving the truth, I don't care my age. If I love the truth, I will not believe the lies of the last day. You know, young people, some folks think that young people just don't get it. I don't believe that. I believe you know and understand enough of the truth that you recognize it as soon as you hear it, the false lie. Amen. I believe that. I remember when our kids were real small, we were at the grandparents' house and we turned the religious medium on there. And Ashley and Micah, they were like 4, 5, 6 years old, somewhere in there. They watched that just a little bit. This one fellow that was on there and what he was saying, and they turned and looked at me and said, Dad, that's not the truth, is it? Little kids, it's a wonderful thing to know the truth. I'm going to close with this. This week at youth camp, I felt led to talk to a young man, been raised in the things of God, been at the youth camps, been at Camp Dove. And I just felt it in my heart to talk to him, and I knew things weren't right. But when I asked him, he kept saying, "I feel okay. There's nothing wrong with me." He kept saying, "I feel okay. There's nothing wrong with me." You know what he was doing? He's liking the dates with the worms. So every time I said something to him, he'd blow the candle out. Whew. And finally I said to him, I said, "I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be rude or anything, but I'm going to tell you why you feel like you're okay. It's because you've been deceived." He began to shake his head, and I said, "No, listen to me. That's the essence and the nature of being deceived. You don't know what's happening to you." I said, "The only way you can know what's happened is to consult what you are feeling and thinking, to consult the book and see whether or not." And a light came on in his face, and he said, "You know, I guess I am being deceived." Oh, the devil would love to deceive. He would love to ensnare through deception. Church, we got to cling to the truth of this book. We got to believe it. We got to measure and gauge everything against the truth of this book. I want to ask you in closing, what's your relationship with the truth? Hey, amen. Where are you at in relationship with this book? If you're not loving the truth, you are, or you are going to believe a lie. And my last statement is this: I've been pointing to this book because that is true. But I want to tell you what the apostle said. He said, "The truth is in Jesus." Oh, hallelujah. We ought to shout right there. The truth is in Jesus. I don't have to be a philosopher to know the truth. I just need to know Jesus. I don't have to go to be educated for years to know the truth. I just need to know Jesus. Brother Wilson, you found that to be true. The truth is in Jesus. If you're thankful for Jesus, would you stand and let's worship him this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Let's exalt him. Could you praise him? Could you praise him? Let's praise him. Amen. Why don't you just thank him right now that you know the truth, that you've heard the truth, that you've received the truth, that you're not blinded, that you don't live in the dark places of this globe and never heard about Jesus. Aren't you glad you know the truth? I'm telling you, church, the truth will set us free. I know we have economic problems. We've got political problems. But we can lift our hands up and rejoice. Amen. Because the truth has set us free. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I don't even know how to give an altar call. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'd just like to say, if you know, you're just going to be truthful with yourself. If you know you're beginning to believe the lies of the last days, and you want to resist that, and you want to hold to the truth, I want you to come right now. You're just going to be real honest. Honest. No one's looking around. This is between you and the Lord, but you're just going to be real truthful. And you're going to say, "I have begun to believe the lies of the world, the lies of the last day, the lies of the Antichrist. But I don't want that. I want to hold to the truth." Are you here? Would you come right now? I don't want to believe that another moment. I don't want to be deceived in these last days. I want to love the truth. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. I want to be prepared for the coming of, oh, truth, truth. We need the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, what happened this week's just the tip of the iceberg. People are believing the lie one after the other. But let us be folks that cling and cleave to the truth, and we'll be free in these last days. Would you come and pray? Let God speak to our hearts. Fill these altars. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Young people, do me a favor. Pray like at youth camp. Say, "Oh God, we want the truth. We want to love the truth." Oh, hallelujah. Let's pray. Oh, let's pray. Oh, our nation needs the truth. Oh, if our politicians would just love the truth.